Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read this chapter together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we request you, brethren, that regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and this man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, or they all may be judged who do not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Amen. Amen. In chapter 2, we're introduced to the man of lawlessness, and how this whole thing comes about is, like I shared yesterday, the Thessalonians were quite alarmed at the news. As Paul talked about the second coming in the first letter, some actually Thessalonians thought that, oh my goodness, did he already come? I mean, there was this an idea in the church there, and they were so even kind of still more confused in a certain way. And so, like I shared yesterday, 2 months later, he sends off this other letter, and it reaches them, and he says, look, you know, I don't want you to, and it's very simple, he says, I don't want you to be shaken from your composure or to be disturbed. You know, I want you to be at peace and understand what is going to happen, understanding exactly what is about to take place. And he says, in this day of the Lord, the first thing that you need to know that it's not going to happen until the apostasy happens. Apostasy is a word that means falling away from the faith. And so what's meant to happen is that there's going to be an incredible deception that comes upon the church. And it's going to take a faithful people, and they're going to be led astray for a season. And they're going to follow this person, this man of lawlessness. I mean, I think it's a person. Some other commentators talk about it's an idea or whatnot. I don't know. I think it's a person. And so, or a nation or something. So this man of lawlessness comes, and the first thing he's going to do, and this is why it's so deceptive, the first thing he's going to do, he's going to wipe away all other idols. And so in a Christian sense, when you look at this, it's like, whoa, this guy's good. You know, I mean, can you imagine if someone came to the earth right now and in one instance, you know, or in one season or one time, all of a sudden Hinduism is overrun, and then Islam is overrun, and then Buddhism, you know, and this guy is able to unite all these different factions and just an idolatry gets thrown to the side. And I mean, I don't know, but I'd be pretty tempted to to lift this person up as well. I mean, wouldn't you? That's why it's going to be such a deception. And what's going to seem like, it seems like he's going to unify the world, unify everything together. But then what's going to happen is he's going to take that place that no man enters into. And that's really the danger. It's okay. I mean, we should We should have faith in people and institutions that try to bring peace and, you know, and try to bring comfort to the world and all those things. I think those things are all very good. But the key is this person ends up taking this place that's only reserved for God. He sits at the temple and claims to be God. And I don't necessarily know if in this situation, because I imagine for most of us, if we have someone that claims to be God, we just think this guy's a kook. So I don't know if he necessarily claims it or people esteem that to him. It's kind of a different matter, right? And so this is the man of losses. There has to be a falling away that happens, and this person gets instilled. And the word, and Paul is using a couple of different phrases or words here, you know, that really goes back all the way to Daniel. When he talks about, if you go through Daniel, particularly chapter 7, you know, the four beasts, and really it's the last beast. And it's he's making kind of similarities from Daniel, you know, and then in Ephesians, Paul will talk about the sons of destruction. And so it's kind of like, you know, in other words, this is not something that he pulled out of the air, but evidence throughout Scripture that this is what's going to take place. And so think about this, a great falling away. People are going to be drawn towards this man of lawlessness, that faithful people, they're going to be drawn away and will follow this one who seemed to have united the world. And so there's a couple different viewpoints. So, I mean, it's really one that's going to happen when we talk about the end times. And when Jesus comes, it's when all the destruction takes place. When we see this, there's two different views or two different scenarios that's going to play out at the same time. One is that the world is just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Wars, rumors of wars, brother will turn their brother in. I mean, it's just everything around is just going to get worse and worse and worse. The flip side, and people will fall away. The flip side as well is that there's going to be a great revival. And so it's almost like these two polarizing forces are coming together, and as they push towards one another, you recognize, man, something's coming. Right, something's going to happen. And I mean, it's such an interesting end time scenario. I mean, how could this be? The world gets worse, but yet there becomes the greatest revival. And you've heard, you know, people talk through the book of Revelation and whatnot, that God is going to, you know, come back to a beautiful bride. And there's that aspect that's happening. The bride is getting more lovely, is getting stronger, while the world is getting worse and worse and worse. It's like it's very troubling, because we'd like to think that if the church gets more beautiful and more effective, then the world is getting better and better and better. I think there is that aspect to it as well. But the reality is, it's these two forces that really come together during this time. And this is the man of lawlessness. Let's see what he does. Verse 4, he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Right? So, you know, he was saying, look, this is not something that we're just making up on the spot. This is revelation. This is what we've been talking about this whole time with you. You know, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And even though the man of lawlessness is not revealed, we can recognize that lawlessness is work around us. Evil is happening. And I just, you know, to me, it's amazing in some ways. And we can see how this mystery of lawlessness is happening. We in our world right now, we exalt men and women in the political realm, you know, in other areas that are just evil. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we are exalting and we look up to and you know, we have people that just, I mean, I don't know if I can call them evil, but just not good people at all. That just purely looking on their record and, you know, I'm just mind-boggling. And for me, a lot of times, it really bothers me. I'm trying to figure out why it bothers me so much. But, I'll just be honest, okay? Just between us, you guys get a bonus because you're here. There's an ex-president in the United States that I just despise. Looking at his record, looking at what he's done, and he is a hero in the world right now. Right? And I think this is the mystery of lawlessness. Right? This is just amazing. And I can't believe that I was in Singapore last week, and I was talking to these unbelievers that came to wish Stan well, and we're talking about American politics and all these things, and this person's like, oh yeah, this president, oh, he's great, right? And I just felt this anger rise up in me, and even though I probably shouldn't, because she's a non-believer, right? I kind of let her have it. And so I don't think she'll be coming to our church for a while, but maybe God's grace. But it's kind of like, man, but it's this mystery of lawlessness, that people that just, their record is just so dismal, and yet in the world, so revered. It's the mystery of lawlessness. I mean, how does this thing work? You look at dictators that kill their own people that are beloved. You know, how does this thing work? We recognize it's this mystery of lawlessness that's already at work around us. It's already happening, you know. And this is not just in the secular world, in the Christian world as well. You know, how can a loving husband do such things to their wife or to their kids? It's the mystery of lawlessness. You know, how can people like in the U.S., it's very a big move to protect children in church, right? Because, you know, you have people that prey on kids and they make their home in church. It's just because it's easy. I mean, you look at the Catholic Church and, you know, even the Evangelical Church, and, you know, and churches have become very vigilant in weeding out these type of people that pray. Now, how can this be? It's the mystery of lawlessness. It's already happening all around us. And as much as we want to point fingers outside, we have to point fingers at our own heart, because I feel the mystery of lawlessness in my own life. You know, how can I have these thoughts that I have sometimes? And how can I, you know, I just be very honest and real. How can I treat my wife in this way? You know, when I made a commitment to love her, you know, in sickness and in health and in death and in life, and, you know, and in good and bad, and all these things, and yet I take her for granted many times. What's wrong with me? You know, it's this mystery of lawlessness. It's already at work in our own lives as well. And so, just as a reflection, I don't want you just to look outwardly in this, you know, like, oh yeah, it's this evil man or this evil nation or something. You know, it's our own selves in this way. Because the mystery is already at work right now. All right, this, you know, whatever's happening and going on is already happening. But then there'll be a time of reckoning, especially for this one. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. You know, the stark reality is, because the man of lawlessness is going to be revealed, could be walking among us today. Right, you know, and I mean, don't go crazy, okay? Don't be like, oh, is it Obama? You know, is it the head of the UN? I don't know, you know. Don't be like one of those revelation freaks, right? But I mean, the simple reality is, because it's going to be revealed, and you know, and this, I don't think it's Obama. I don't think it's the head of the UN. He's a Korean guy anyway, right? You know, shouldn't be. That's not right, and stuff. So. But it's, you know, I don't want you to get crazy in that way. But because he's revealed, it could be among us right now. I mean, you know, the enemy is working even now to bring about his purposes. And this the sad part of this is that this deception, this wickedness, you know, is going to infiltrate the church. It's going to infiltrate God's people, and there'll be a falling away because they did not love the truth. In verse 10, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. It's now obviously this is, I mean, in the context, talking about people outside the church. But let me talk to people inside the church. It's important for us to love truth. It's important for us to be very well grounded in the scriptures. You know, most of the times, and you know, I don't really counsel too many people, but I have been doing a lot of counseling these days. You know, for a variety of different things, and when people come and we talk about issues in their life and things that they're going through, you know, most of it is really job related, you know, and work kind of stuff, and when we have these discussions, and I listen to them speak. And I usually let them speak for a while, you know, to kind of get the background, kind of get the story, understanding, you know. And then when I listen, it's like these little things go off in my brain, like ding, 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 because it's like, that's so unbiblical. Like, what you just said is so unbiblical, you know. And what you're doing is just so lacking faith, and you're living your whole life on fear. It's just so obvious. Do you know what I mean? It's just right there. But because there's no understanding of truth, there's no understanding of love of the truth, that we get into a lot of error, really, in the way that we live our lives. The scriptures is really a manual for us, you know. And when we depart from that, we begin to introduce our own ideas and our humanistic realities and all these different things that happen, and it really makes life difficult. It makes life very confusing, right? You know, I was talking with this person, and she's just going back and forth. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this, her pendulum was swinging one way to the other, and I was like, just relax. Take it easy, you know. Let's go to the scriptures, and I just had to simply say, you know what? Everything you said is all fear based. Where's faith involved in this? You know, everything you said is based on what you might miss out on, you know, instead of what God can offer you. And you recognize, wow, you know, this person. And I'm not judging the person. I'm just, you know, saying straight out reality. Right, it's just, man, you don't really know the Bible very well. Because I think if you knew the Bible, you wouldn't really have this situation in your life. You wouldn't be so confused and so tossed, you know, back and forth by the waves. You know, it's important that there is a love of truth, that the scriptures inform our life. The scriptures speak and inform our life, not our good friend, you know, who's wise, you know, sometimes that happens, but as long as the wisdom is biblical, you know, not our boss who's successful and, you know, and whatnot. And, you know, and the simple reality is someone could be successful in one area and be a disaster in a whole nother area. But there's something about this godly wisdom that God gives to us that spans through the sphere of our life, you know, that works in the marketplace as well as it works at home. You know, that works in your family, you know, as well as it works among your colleagues. There's this wisdom of God that goes beyond any circumstance or any situation. And so he talks about this what we need to have in this situation. And then he closes off with this idea of really a prayer for the church, a thanksgiving and an exhortation. That's from 13 on to the end of the chapter. It's this thanksgiving, this praise for their calling. It says, but you've been set apart. You've been called by God. Where there's, as we give thanks to God, this is verse 13, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. The word, the beginning, is probably better translated by the first fruits. In other words, you are the first fruits of God. In his choosing and through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this reason that he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this a comforting thought? That God chose us not because we're usable. You know, He chose us not because we have anything to offer Him. He chose us that we can partake in God's glory. He chose us that we can, you know, we can come into the glory of God. We can come into all the work that God has done, that Jesus Christ has done. It's amazing. You know, and a lot of us, we may think that, you know, God chose me because I'm smart, you know, because I have influence and I'm in this place. And no, He chose you for His glory. He chose you because He loved you and He wanted to share His Son with us. It's at the end of the day, we had nothing to offer God, absolutely nothing to offer the Lord. And He chose us so that we can partake in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus. And so I like always like this phrase, so what, right? So, brothers, stand firm and hold to the tradition which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us, right? So stand firm. Remember, the situation here is persecution. The situation here in Thessalonica is serious persecution that's coming from all different ways. And Paul commends in chapter 1. And so when persecution comes, what is the figurative word that Paul uses? Stand firm, right? Stand. You know, when you're doing all these things, stand. It's a fighting posture, right? Don't run and hide. Don't walk away. Don't run away. Stand and fight. You know, put your feet firmly down and battle and war and warfare. This is the word for us as a church. Stand firm. Fight the good fight of faith. Listen, friends, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. But stand firm. Someone's got to fight. Someone is, you know, we say this a lot at church, right? Someone has to pay the price. Are you willing to be that person? Will you stand and fight? Stand firm and hold to the traditions. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. It's the blessing that He offers them in the midst of this. So let's close our eyes. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So this morning, let's take some time and kind of internalize. I know that the passage is really referring to an exterior. It's okay, right? We can draw all different inspiration from the scripture. Do you recognize lawlessness working in your own heart right now? I had lunch with a pastor yesterday, and I was really inspired. Incredible man of God. He's a Chinese pastor, runs one of the largest churches here in Hong Kong. And we got to spend some really good quality time together. And he mentioned it's a long story, but I'll make it real short. He mentioned that he was told by someone to repent. And he's like, what? You know, and so he got on his knees, he's on a trip, and he got on his knees, and he started repenting, and the guy said, no, you need to really repent. I mean, like, there's something in your heart, and you need to really. And so he started praying, and then Holy Spirit showed him exactly what it was. And he recognized this lawlessness working within him. And he said he was on his knees and for 2 hours, and he couldn't forgive this man. It was this issue. There was this man that had hurt him, you know, back in Canada. And he said he was kneeling for 2 hours, and he just could not forgive this man. And then finally, as he's wrestling with God, he's finally able to forgive him. And I mean, just really incredible story. And after that, his life just took off. You know, I mean, everything, his church took off. I mean, they went from like, you know, 130 people to like 5,000 just in a few years. It's amazing. It's this mystery of lawlessness that's already at work. You know, and I was really, afterwards, really reflecting. I said, man, is there anything in my heart that maybe I'm delaying God's activity or, you know, something to that effect? But probe, ask Holy Spirit. Lawlessness is already at work around us. Give yourself to the Lord. Let Him cleanse you and free you and love you. And as we sing this morning, let's pray on that. Now, as a Christian, we're not to dwell on our sins. That leads to despair. But in the midst of our confession, we look to the One who forgives. And peace and joy floods our hearts as forgiveness flows. So don't merely focus on your sin. Focus on the One who forgave you. Let's pray and sing together.
With you forever, with you forever, love. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart, I wanna know your heart, 'cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart, I wanna know your heart. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart, I wanna know your heart, 'cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart, I wanna know your heart.
Let's pray this morning. This morning especially, let's pray for ourselves right now. As we recognize our flaws and our weaknesses, and let's pray for the transforming work of Christ to come into those places. And all of us, we all have it. We all have weaknesses. We all have things that we're not too happy about in our life. The key is that you need to take those weaknesses and you need to submit them to God. If you don't, what ends up happening is those weaknesses turns into wickedness. And so let's spend some time, and I'll give you a little more time than usual. Let's spend some time and let's take our weaknesses. And maybe it's the way that we treat our spouses. Maybe it's the way that we treat maybe others that are not as wealthy or not as fit as we are. You know, there's some kind of racism or something. Or, you know, maybe we have proclivity towards certain things. Whatever it is, let's submit that to God and say, God, I'm weak here. Lord, would you give me strength? Lord, would the cross of Jesus come and release life into my life in these areas? Let's just go before the Lord. Like I said, I'll give you a little more time that you can really pray personally this morning. Let's pray together. Let's lift up our community. Let's ask God to touch our friends, family members that are going through some major illnesses, that are in need of transplants, and that are going through chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Let's ask God's healing word to come forth. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that are ill, but more than that, that need spiritual healing, that need to know Jesus. Let's pray that God would just bring people around them, chaplains, whatever the case, family members that believe and that would share Christ's love with them, and they would open up their hearts to receive Him during this time. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for others that are saved but going through different illnesses, and family members, and continue to remind you, remember to pray especially for Pastor Jimmy, who had a minor stroke. He had his MRI, results are coming out soon, and but he's still quite numb on his left side, and so let's just really pray that God would heal him and touch him right now. And let's pray for our other friends up on the board as well. Let's pray for our church family that are looking for work. Let's ask God to provide. Pray that that they will use their time well. Pray for just connections, and the Lord would open doors for them, and that they would really spend this time really drawing near to the Lord. Let's lift them up. Go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for local ministries here. Pray for the churches, the international churches, ethnic churches, Chinese churches. Let's pray that this Sunday that the gospel may be preached powerfully in every pulpit here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for YWAM, Hong Kong. Pray for sports services. Pray for Godwin at Shanty Ministries and Master's Beauty, the Red Light District Outreach. Let's also continue to pray for Face to Face and Zhengsheng College, Feed the Hungry, CSW. And particularly, CSW is having their conference coming up. But Anil, who's in charge, his father-in-law passed away. So he's actually in India. And so we can lift Anil and his wife Mina up to the Lord and ask God's hand to be with them during this time. And so even though there's an event going on, he's actually not even able to make it in this time. So let's pray that their conference this weekend goes well and God's hand will be upon them. So let's just lift up. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for the worship teams that are operating this weekend. Let's pray for the AV team, the hospitality and barista ministries. And let's pray that everyone that serves with a pure, glad heart and just really wanting to love God and love people around them. Let's pray for the leaders of these ministries and pray that God would give them wisdom to lead and just inside strategy. And that the Lord be pleased with the service. Let's lift up. Let's pray for McCain House Church meeting tonight. Let's pray that the Lord would bless the leaders, Jimmy, Boyoung, and KJ as they lead House Church, and Holy Spirit would just really have their way with them. But also tack on there in this part is that we have our EG retreat that starts tonight. Our second one, this is a Saturday class that will be going out to Noah's Ark again. And let's just pray for a real God encounter. You know, it's a real Holy Spirit weekend that the ones that have been going through the workbook the whole time experiencing God, that as they have been experiencing already, that there would be a real climax this weekend as Jesus draws near to them. And let's just pray for, there's 12 of them in the class right now. Let's just pray for a wonderful time this weekend as well. Let's pray for House Church, McCain, and pray for EG Retreat. Father, we bless you this morning, God, and we thank you for your word, God. I pray that you would give us a love for truth, Lord. Give us understanding, wisdom, and revelation, God, to take the word of God into our lives and live it out in the flesh, Lord. Lord, give us that skill, that art, Lord. God, watch over us this day, God. Help us as we battle against this mystery of lawlessness, God, that works within us, works around us. Lord, help us to be overcomers, God. We thank you, Lord. We want to bless you today, God, in our speech, in our conduct, in our attitudes. So we thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Watch over us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.